ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. St. Patrick's Day parades across the country today and this weekend, including this one in Savannah, Georgia, one of the nation's oldest. In Atlanta, Georgia, former President Trump and 18 others are still facing criminal charges brought by District Attorney Fonnie Willis in an election interference case. She remained on the case after a prosecutor with whom she had a relationship resigned.
News of Nathan Wade's resignation came about 6 hours after Judge Scott McAfee gave Fonnie Willis an ultimatum. Either she'd have to let her ex-boyfriend go, or she would be kicked off the Trump case. In his order, Judge McAfee said Willis and Wade appeared to have testified untruthfully about the timing of their relationship. And while he said there was no proof that she financially benefited from it, the judge said the DA's conduct amounted to a tremendous lapse in judgment.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Israel says it's approved a plan to go after Hamas militants in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. This is ABC News. The CDC is monitoring a growing number of measles cases so far this year.
The CDC sending a team to Chicago to help local officials deal with an ongoing measles outbreak. It's just one of a number of hotspots for the highly contagious disease. As federal officials say, there have been at least 58 cases in 17 states this year, matching the total number of cases last year, and it's only March. Chicago mother Jessica Coletti's son tested positive.
I honestly thought he was going to die in my arms. And I just kept telling him that mommy's getting help and you're going to be okay.
Health officials urging parents to get their kids fully vaccinated. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Officials in western New York seized a 750-pound alligator from a home where it was being kept illegally. State Department of Environmental Conservation says it took the action when it learned the owner was seriously endangering the public, including allowing people to get into an in-ground swimming pool with the alligator. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest, and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report says Black LGBTQ plus youth are seeing more equality, but it doesn't always mean greater opportunity. Edwin J. Vieira explains.
The Human Rights Campaign reports around 82% of kids were out to someone in their immediate family. This shows a growing comfort level they have in being who they are, but the findings also indicate this doesn't always translate into acceptance and leads to concern. Ryan J. Watson, a University of Connecticut professor and researcher for the report, says a key takeaway is how Black LGBTQ plus youth face exclusion on several fronts.
Maybe their Black African-American relatives, friends, are in particularly unsupportive of them being a sexual gender minority, and so they kind of have stigma from that side. And then also the kids in this report are reporting they feel excluded by white LGBTQ youth and population.
The report suggests parents can educate themselves about sexuality and gender identity, as well as use the name and pronouns their kids use to define themselves. The report also finds mental health is a big concern for this population. Around 59% of Black LGBTQ plus youth screened positive for depression, while close to 40% of those surveyed were diagnosed with anxiety. Watson finds these figures alarming.
We could leverage health professionals, teachers, parents, but if I were developing an intervention right now to help a particular group of youth, this to me seems like a population in dire need.
Nearly half of all Black transgender or gender expansive youth have unmet mental health needs. Surveys find accessing mental health care is a challenge for many Black or minority residents. Along with this, many are concerned about how their gender identity will affect their futures. More than 80% say they want to attend college, but almost one-third worry how being LGBTQ+ could harm their future higher education opportunities. This is Edwin J. Vieira. Support for this reporting is provided by Lumina Foundation.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I'm live in Madison and joined in studio by musician James Runday. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, breezy, and a high near 51. West winds gusting around 30 miles per hour at times. Tonight, still breezy, mostly cloudy, upper 20s. Sunday, mostly cloudy, and a high near 37. 38 Monday, 48, your high for Tuesday.
It's 51 at our studios.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you don't know that song, that's Neil Diamond, Coming to America. And there is no better song to start out Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations, 13 stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman has got whatever nasty, crazy bug is out right now. And she's, we said, just go chill. Enjoy the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the week. Get yourself better. But we got Mike Kretschmer in the co-host chair tonight. Mike, and I have to say, I never get as jacked as I do when it's springtime in Wisconsin. And it's not there yet. This is like tomfoolery, Kretschmer, because we never really had a winter this year. And turkeys started strutting in February. And it was absolutely insane. I mean, we're out there. I'm driving from place to place, and turkeys are in the middle of the fields in full strut. Have you seen this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. It's such a weird feeling. It's like, what? I think my car said 67, 68 today.
It's March 12th, for God's sake. And it's 67 degrees out. This is the craziest. I mean, okay, look. If this is global warming, I don't see a downside.
I love ice fishing.
I know. I do. I did love ice fishing before I discovered hunting. But I have to say, when I'm out there driving from place to place and there are turkeys, literally, it's a weird thing though, because, you know, in the springtime when turkeys are interested in chasing down hens, they split up because they want to increase their own odds. So they're trying to catch hens on their own. So they split up and that forces the hen groups to split up. But they're like strutting 10, 15 at a time right now in the middle of 30. Fields. 30, 50. Yeah. I saw a group of probably 150, up northern or southern Dodge County just the other day scouting on my way to work. It's funny. I call scouting on my way to work, which usually ends up taking me like 40 miles outside of my work route. But, you know, how important do you think scouting is as far as this early, this far out? Because our turkey hunting season starts here in Wisconsin on April 17th. That's when time period A does.
Literally a month.
A month. It's literally a month away. And I'm scouting. I feel like I'm scouting already because I can, and they're already in the fields. And I'm just jacked up about it.
Yeah, but you do all the time. I mean, you do that for goose hunting too, right? I mean, you are so jacked up to get out there, and you drive a lot for work, kind of like I do. My opinion is I think it's too early, personally, because those groups do split up. It's never too early. Let's just say that. But
you just contradicted yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Totally.
I know. I'm saying it's like never too early, but I don't get excited this early, I guess I could say. So I like if a field has birds in it, I just put it in the back of my brain, be like, oh, there's a good area. Now you got to work on permission to get near that spot. And if there's 30 birds in that field, in a month from now, there could be 5. And then the neighbor's property might be 10 times better. But as long as you have that general area of where those birds are, you're going to do okay.
Yeah, you know, I have got spots every year that produce turkeys. Like
for sure.
Every year. It's like they are just diehard spots.
Yep.
And then it's so crazy because you'll have a spot that there's turkeys in every year. You know where they're roosting. And then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone.
Yep.
For some reason, they got pushed out. Coyotes, hunting pressure, you know, other critters, who knows? And then all of a sudden, they're gone. And sometimes they are roosting across the street. Sometimes they'll move, that whole group will move miles.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of where when I say it's too early, it's never too early to go put that stuff in the back of your brain. But also, they do move a lot, you know, for a month. I mean, we could have 2 feet of snow. I mean, opening youth hunt, we've had plenty of snow on the ground in years past. So this is just, this year is just really strange.
It's very strange.
But I've heard horror stories of the ticks out already.
I've seen pictures. I'm going to tell you something. I was bobcat hunting in Clam Lake, Wisconsin.
Okay.
In January.
Yeah.
And it was one of those days that it hit like 52 degrees. And I'm out there in January and I had to show everybody. I'm standing out there, you know, we're in the woods.
Yeah.
And a mosquito landed on me in January in Clam Lake, Wisconsin, which
Six
is
hours.
The northernmost reach of the state. And a mosquito landed on me.
It's insane.
If you're a conspiracy theorist, I think this kind of weather... Why are you shaking your head at me, Anastasia?
I wouldn't call it conspiracy yet.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, is this not apocalyptic? I mean, what's going on?
Well, you did say earlier if this is global warming, and I don't know how to break it to you, but what if it is global warming?
What if it isn't global warming? What if we are at the precipice of the beginning of the end of the world?
Never know. That scares me.
All I can... That doesn't scare me because I think I know where I'm going once I die, or at least I hope so.
My kids get, Finley's actually doing a outer space project right now. So I just tell her all the time, I'm like, you know, we're floating and spinning. So she thinks that's a joke to me that I'm always scared that we're just floating in the middle of nowhere.
We are floating and spinning. Although if you do subscribe to conspiracy theories, there are plenty of them out there that do not believe that we are floating and spinning. In fact, they think we live on a flat earth.
And well, that flat earth might be floating and spinning. But like a pizza.
Oh, I see.
You gotta get two-dimensional, Joel.
I know, but I'm kind of confused about the... So let's just say everything about flat earth is true. Let's just assume it's true.
Let's not do that, but
so
okay.
So why is there one flat pizza in the middle of all of the spherical planets?
We are just God's pizza dough being spun through the stars, my friend. That's all I can say. That's all I know.
More proof.
With lots of toppings.
Yeah, so many toppings.
So many toppings. Let's one more proof that God is Italian. See, I've always known that.
Pizza.
I've always known that God is Italian. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, Rome is the home of the Catholic Church
right. And
the Pope. But God has to be Italian, right?
Pizza.
No, I'm not. Oh, man.
Down a rabbit hole.
How on earth have we gotten here?
If it gets you back on topic, I have another bug that is alive in January and February up north that shouldn't be.
What?
In February of like 2017, my dad, while up north in the UP, was bit by a brown recluse spider.
Ooh.
And he very nearly lost his arm.
What?
So, and I just, as a word of warning, he was going to a wood pile, pulling dry wood out, like I said, February-ish, I think.
Yeah.
Chopping it, that brown recluse, that had been its home all winter, is pretty
Whoa.
Mad that its nice log cabin was getting taken apart, and it bit my dad, and the doctors
Holy
did
cow.
Not believe it could have been a spider bite because of the time of year, but it,
was.
So be careful out there, people. Be careful about spiders.
I think that's a great way to bring it back to what we're talking about. You have to be super careful. I mean, my mom, who's actually joins us in the studio every week when we have the show, and she actually has Lyme disease, and she does not know how she contracted it. But one thing that you do have to be incredibly careful of
spring turkey season, I think, is when hunters are most vulnerable to tick bites. And obviously, we didn't used to have deer ticks down here. We had only wood ticks, and deer ticks carry Lyme disease versus wood ticks. And deer ticks are the smaller ticks, harder to see, harder to know when they bite you. But you have to be very careful out there, and don't be afraid to use the DEET or the tick control stuff. Do you use the tick control stuff when you hunt turkeys?
Some properties I do. Some of my backyards that I hunt in don't.
Yeah. I'm much more of a comfort hunter when it comes to turkeys. I love the whole set up in a blind, watch the day unfold, get out there, you know, 45 minutes at least before sunrise, right, while the turkeys are still sleeping, to listen where they're calling from, to see what comes down. There was one scenario where I was out turkey hunting and we had our decoys set up, and right at the crack of dawn, an owl came and flew down and hit my main decoy and knocked it off.
Really?
And it was upside down. And so I thought, do I sit here? Because if I walk out then at sunlight, any turkey roosting anywhere nearby is going to see me.
Correct.
So I just kind of let it sit there, but that blew the entire hunt for me. But one of the coolest things I've ever seen was an owl flying down and attacking my decoy. That was crazy. Do you have crazy stories like that, turkey hunting stories?
Not turkey hunting. I've had that similar situation up in Canada when I was up there a couple of years back. We were on a remote lake and I tied a walleye to the stringer over the side of the boat, and an eagle almost literally took my back off me and tried to grab the fish off the stringer as I was putting it on the stringer. I hit the bottom of the boat so fast. The guy in the front, I looked at him, eyes were sticking. Like, I don't know how this bird didn't hit me. It was that close. And it was pretty epic. And then he sat in the tree right there and we caught a little snake northern, and as soon as that thing, I threw it in the air and almost caught it out of the air. It was I wish I had a phone with me back then.
Did you see it coming and were you
No,
able to duck?
It was like the guy in the front of the boat like ducked, and I looked down and I had, I'm telling you,
like
less
giant
than 4
eagle
feet
talons,
wings. Yeah,
right
there trying to grab it as I was putting, because it was flopping in the side of the boat. So he knew it was, it was amazing. It was pretty cool, but at the same time.
Is that one of those scenarios where it happens so fast you're not even scared until it's over?
Yeah, 100%. The guy in the front was like, whoa, and I look up, and it was right there, and I duck, and almost cleaned the undershorts on that one. It was so cool. It was really, I mean, I'll never forget that.
I'm wondering why we have more eagles around lately. It's the coolest thing ever, and, you know, if you live out in La Crosse area, you see them all the time on the river out there, but we don't see a whole lot here. But I've seen like 3 or 4 eagles right around my house
yesterday
in Sullivan every day now.
Yeah. Yesterday I had one over the Heartland. I got off on 83 in Heartland and it was literally flying over the water tower. I'm like, how cool would that have been to get a picture for the Village of Heartland with the big, you know, full plume eagle flying over the water tower with Village of Heartland on the side of it. It was really cool.
You do know that they can just take a picture of the water tower
and
superimpose
it. I know they can.
Now.
That's not the same.
I almost feel bad for photographers because today, in today's world, it's like anybody can make anything happen, you know, on the computer.
Yeah.
So it's like getting and capturing those amazing shots have to actually be candid shots or they don't matter as much. We're up against break, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you the story of how I almost died while I was alligator hunting because of a white egret that surprised me while we were going 40 miles an hour on an airboat. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Got a dream they come to share. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America today.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving, get it moving."
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on every Civic Media station throughout Wisconsin. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's a bit under the weather, so she took the week off. We got Mike Kretschmer sitting in the hot seat next to us today, and he's a very worthy host, so appreciate you jumping in the hot seat.
You know, I always love being here.
Well, we love having you. Anastasia on... Anastasia's the wicked, wicked, wicked... Working the turntables and the microphone.
Oh, they don't let me near the turntables.
They don't?
Well, I don't think we own any real turntables anymore.
Anastasia is, I have to say, like, she has become like master of all production stuff. When we're out in the field and we get something that's cool for the show, literally just swing it over to her. She puts it right in the show. It goes smooth and flawless. It's absolutely perfect. And I have to confess, I thought, like, at the beginning, she wasn't really an outdoors type. And, like, every week we come here, she ends up with some new revelation about her life and about her dad. And, I mean, we
You're
just found
it sound
out.
Real emotional.
Well, isn't that the job of anybody
I guess,
in the media? You lead them right up to that point, and then you put the dagger in, and then they cry, and there's your soundbite, right?
Oh, my goodness.
10 years in television news, And you want to elicit emotion in your stories. But so Anastasia's dad caught this monster northern pike through the ice last week.
Oh, really?
Obviously,
2 weeks ago,
up north. Like a giant. Had some stripes in it. Almost looked like it might have had a little hybrid musky in it. I'm not sure. Really cool. And then she's telling me, we talked a little bit in the first segment about being careful because of the bugs, the dangerous potential bugs. And her dad was bitten by a brown recluse spider. And I have to say, I'm not joking, folks. I have a friend who got bit in the neck by a recluse spider, just thought it was something poked him or something. 3 days later, he was in ICU at the emergency room facing a potential spinal cord injury because the infection of those recluse spiders is so serious and spreads so fast.
My dad's been a lifetime outdoorsman. He was born in Illinois, but he made up for it. He was raised in the UP.
Okay, this is what we call burying the lead, Anastasia.
Hey,
now she's coming in with all this outdoor stuff.
It still is. My dad's still around. This spider bite, I'll just say, first time I think my dad ever thought he could or was going to lose an appendage. We really thought, I think it was his right arm. Like, we thought they were going to have to take it off at the shoulder. And not just because I'm a hypochondriac, but the doctors were like, "Sir, if your circulation continues to you lose it in this swelling, to save your heart, we're going to have to take your hand off."
Cow.
And it's like, cool, you get this because you went up north hunting. No, but it's very, So I know a little bit of stuff.
I think that should definitely act as a warning, though, because what happens is, when a recluse spider bites you or other poisonous spiders, it's not the actual bite. It's the venom that doesn't allow your skin to heal. So what happens is bacteria gets in and causes what's called necrotizing fasciitis, which is where the bacteria multiplies in such a rapid fashion that it's almost like what they used to call or what we've would call the flesh-eating disease, and it spreads fast that they are doing everything they can to stop it. And part of the problem is when it spreads that fast, they struggle to find antibiotics that haven't been used too much and don't and are still effective. So we're not trying to scare you out of the woods. Believe me, that none of this has ever stopped me. And I've never been tested for Lyme disease because I'm partly a little afraid I have it because of how much time I spend in the woods. But make sure you're safe while you're out there. And, you know, we went into the break talking a little bit about turkey hunting, and Anastasia reminded me she has a turkey story. Is this a turkey story or a turkey hunting story?
This is just a turkey story, but I think you'll find it endearing, and I'll be quick about it.
All right.
Also in high school, but before my dad was bit by the brown recluse, we hosted a foreign exchange student named Mizuho from Japan.
Okay.
And we're driving in Marathon County out to where we live, and there's just a little group, a flock, what would you call, of turkeys?
It's actually called a rafter.
There's a rafter of turkeys. There's a rafter of turkeys, and my sweet Japanese foreign exchange student, she'd seen a lot of interesting American things that week, like pumpkins in Japan are like acorn shaped and green. Well, we took her to Pumpkin Fest and there's these huge orange things.
Okay.
So she sees the turkeys. She's never seen them before. She gets really this big, big eyes and she gets quiet. She goes, dinosaur. And I said, what? She goes, is it dinosaur? I go, no, it's the turkey.
My, that
she
is
goes,
the greatest I've
turkey
ever heard.
From Thanksgiving looks like this before. I go, yeah. She goes, that's a dinosaur. Yeah. She never wanted to see them again.
I totally understand that, though. My little girls called turkeys dinosaurs since they were when they were little, because when they run, they look like a Velociraptor running.
They are technically the descendants of dinosaurs.
Well,
somewhere in there is a little Velociraptor still. Yeah.
That is for sure. I think Velociraptors are delicious.
Well,
hey, Jean Reed is here, and she's going to be. We're going to get her on the air in the next segment. She's chilling right now, but. Her daughter went turkey hunting for the first time in her life with me, which is pretty awesomely exciting. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to get her in the seat, Kretschmer. What did you have a turkey thing you needed to talk about real quick?
Well, Finley.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, last spring, Finley shot she's nine years old, carrying a crossbow, shot a turkey at like 22, 23 yards. I think one week you were out, we touched base on it.
That is really impressive.
Yeah. She was an all-star. So now she didn't somehow get a tag this year. So we're going to make sure next week, all the tags go on, extra tags go on sale next Monday, depending on the zone throughout all next week. So if you are a turkey hunter or you're not a turkey hunter and you want to learn how to turkey hunt, you can definitely apply for the extra tags for the different seasons and different zones for next year, or for April,
for this year. Let me just remind everybody, they go on sale at 10 o'clock in the morning every day, depending on which zone you want to get. There are leftover tags for seasons 4, 5, and 6 in most of the zones. There's 6 zones, right?
Seven zones.
And there's 3 that are available, 3 weeks of availability. So if you want a turkey hunt and you didn't put yourself into the lottery, you can 100% get a leftover tag. It's tougher in the later weeks, but make sure you do that. We never got to me almost being killed by a white egret. We'll get to that in the next segment because it's already time for a break. You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Sitting in the hot seat is Mike Kretschmer. And we got Jean Reed coming up, and she's going to talk to us. She's nervous, I can tell, but we're going to pull the story of her daughter hitting the woods for the first time out when we come back on Raised in Wisco on your civic media station.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. St. Patrick's Day parades across the country today and this weekend, including this one in Savannah, Georgia, one of the nation's oldest. In Atlanta, Georgia, former President Trump and 18 others are still facing criminal charges brought by District Attorney Fani Willis in an election interference case. She remained on the case after a prosecutor with whom she had a relationship resigned.
News of Nathan Wade's resignation came about 6 hours after Judge Scott McAfee gave Fani Willis an ultimatum. Either she'd have to let her ex-boyfriend go, or she would be kicked off the Trump case. In his order, Judge McAfee said Willis and Wade appeared to have testified untruthfully about the timing of their relationship. And while he said there was no proof that she financially benefited from it, the judge said the DA's conduct amounted to a tremendous lapse in judgment.
That's ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Israel says it's approved a plan to go after Hamas militants in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. This is ABC News.
Packers welcome their new defensive player. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers brought in Xavier McKinney to Green Bay to sign his contract with the team. At $68 million over 4 years, the former Giants safety will be the fourth highest paid player in his position. McKinney and the Packers' new running back, Josh Jacobs, both played together at Alabama. Did he ever think they'd be teammates again?
Nah, never. I'm glad that we're back on the same team, though. I can tell you that because he's a special back, somebody that really good friends with. You know, he's a great teammate. He's a guy that plays really hard, makes a lot of plays. So it's going to be fun to just be back on the field with him and practicing against him.
Men's college basketball. Marquette beat Providence last night 79-68. They will play UConn tonight in the Big East. The Badgers set to face Purdue in the Big Ten tournament today. They got past Northwestern thanks to some sharp shooting. Stephen Crowell.
So AJ's pulling deep threes, Max. John's been unbelievable. So just getting that lid off the rim early.
That's the Badgers' Stephen Crowell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, breezy, and a high near 51. West winds gusting around 30 miles per hour at times. Tonight, still breezy, mostly cloudy, upper 20s. Sunday, mostly cloudy, and a high near 37. 38 Monday, 48, your high for Tuesday.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Taking in the sunrise, a feeling everyone should know.
And welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your co-host, Mike Kretschmer. Before the break, we were talking turkeys. And
Mike, by the way, you're doing a good job.
I'm trying.
Filling out.
I'm kind of a, I haven't done that before. So that's a first.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels pretty good.
Yeah. I just
you
gotta get the
get a little more excited about it.
Yeah, but I gotta get the civic media part down in what, 13?
Now
that's awesome. That is awesome.
Mike brought us back from break because I am literally have not eaten yet today. And
DoorDash is here.
And DoorDash got here. Thanks, Gene.
You're welcome.
Gene Reed, who's been a friend of mine since high school, actually worked for me for a while at the Capitol and still does my bookkeeping. She swung by. And that's what you call serendipity. When luck, a lucky coincidence, a fortunate coincidence, because Gene's daughter, Lexi, got the bug to hunt. How old was she? 10?
I think 10, yeah. She was in fourth grade. And what gave her the bug was going to the Capitol and seeing all of your like man cave like office at the Capitol and all of your trophies hanging on the walls. And she thought, that is so cool. I want to give that a try.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think, you know, Cabela's is a very good to back that up is a very good spot where people go in. They've never been there. It's a huge place. They see the different animals. They're like, whoa, what's that? Oh, turkeys. I mean, for my kids, it seems like they're like, one of my best friend's brothers, he's not big into hunting, but he thought turkeys were ugly. He'd shoot turkeys, but he won't shoot deer. You know, so it's like you get to see the different animals and like what, you know, what intrigues you to do that. So, right. I mean, so what happened? Did you, Joel, well, you take
the,
her?
I mean, this is the coolest thing. This is the coolest thing ever, because when somebody sees something and they think, wait a minute, is that within the realm of possibility for me to do? That's the first thing any person who hasn't hunted thinks.
Right.
Is that something that's within the realm of possibility for me to do? Now, Lexi, Gene's daughter, is kind of she's an ambitious kid, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she must have told Gene, hey, I really want to do that. But I'm going to tell you, this kid is an actual hunter. And, you know, the demographic of young girls hunting is a small but growing demographic. And the fact that she actually got out there and tried to do it and wanted to do it is one thing.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. This was one of those rare things. I mean, you know that I'm a decent turkey hunter. I mean, turkey hunting for me, that's one of my strong suits.
Oh, yeah,
suits.
You're
I'm good
texting
at it.
Me, calling me all the time. Let's go.
I'm good at it. And I went to take Lexi out turkey hunting and with Gene. And Gene, what happened, Gene? This wasn't like Joel take him out and boom, we catch a bunch of turkeys everywhere all the time.
No. So you were really good. You were like keeping all of your top secret scouting areas under wraps just for us. And you had a good one chosen and you were quite confident that we were going to go out the next morning and Lexi was going to shoot a turkey. And we drove by it the night before and it just so happened that the farmer was burning something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The farmer had a giant burn pile going. And I have to say, when you hunt, here's one of the things you're stuck with. When somebody gives you the honor and the privilege of allowing you onto their property with a gun, with a firearm,
yeah,
to hunt something on their property and kill something, the very least, you are subject to what that farmer needs to do in the course of his life. If he's plowing the field that day, you're screwed, but
yep,
guess what? Tough beans, because yep, it's his field and he is letting you out there. So we go to scout it the night before and he's got a massive bonfire going right under where the turkeys were roosting.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I said, let's give it a shot anyway. And
but I'm pumped.
Thanks, Gene. Wow. Dad jokes from Gene tonight.
Yeah. So we got up. I was going to say bright and early. It was not bright and early. It was 3 a.m. and it was super dark. And we made our way out there and we set up the blind and we did not see any turkeys. You can say turkeys, plural, right?
Right.
Turkeys, I think turkeys is
yeah,
plural.
Turkeys.
Yeah.
Turkeys. Yeah. Rafter. We didn't see a rafter of turkeys.
No, we did not. We didn't see any at all. But Alexa was just so thrilled to be out there. And I don't know. We went out another few times and we did see some turkeys. I think probably we went out several times. So we started in September and she finally shot her first turkey on a couple days before Christmas.
Yeah.
It took us several months, but it was.
So was this year? This last
no,
month?
No,
a couple
this
years
was like
back.
3 years ago. Three okay. or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what's crazy about it is, And especially when you have, you know, a young person, a kid you're taking out there. I mean, we were to the point of bringing out Mr. Buddy heaters, put them in the blind. I mean, we were fall turkey hunting because there is no week. So it makes it a little easier to, you know, spread it around a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, now this kid's put in 20 plus hours, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
No turkey yet. And she still wants to go every time I have a chance.
Every
to take
single
her.
Time.
And that's before she's ever even had the opportunity to shoot one or
shoot at one.
Right. That's pretty remarkable. I mean, it is.
That's what scares the crap out of me when I have a new hunter is taking them a million times and wondering what they're thinking when nothing happens. Now, we had gone, four times
at least,
probably.
Yeah, and she never lost her motivation.
No, she didn't, and that wasn't like me. I had these things scouted so well, and then finally, the day we did hunt, the day she did shoot her giant tom, it was textbook on that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're out there, the sun comes up, we hear him gobbling in the fall, which you do hear him gobbling
in the
fall.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, for sure.
I mean, a lot of people, they won't use decoys in the fall, they won't call. They think, oh, that doesn't work. They just don't know. It works awesome. Sometimes you get an entire armada of turkeys coming in the fall.
Right, because they start grouping up more and more as the fall goes on, I think. And to that point, you do your scouting and you do your homework. You know, in the fall, they're pretty predictable until something like the farmer starts the field on fire, the farmer starts plowing, or a subdivision goes, right? I mean,
yes,
there's
no,
a million.
They get their patterns get very predictable in the fall because it's harder for them to find food.
Right.
So when they have a consistent food and water source, they're going to use it. It's like you can get turkeys at some point in the fall where you literally know when they're coming down from the roost, how long they're going to spend in the woods before they walk to the field. Right. And they want to pick those bugs before the ground freezes, too. So on this day, we're literally out there, and it was morning, right?
It was morning.
Sunrise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We hear some birds. We hear the, you know.
They're way across on the other side of the field, and we were just hoping that they were going to start making their way towards us. And we did have some decoys set out, and they did start making their way in mass. There were quite a few of them. And she set her sights on the biggest tom that there was, and she took her shot and got him.
She flopped it. She jelly-headed that sucker real good.
Nice.
And what's go ahead, Jean.
I was going to say, and I think that you got a shot too. Was it two with?
Did I? I had like five or six tags too. Oh, that's right. We got multiple turkeys that day.
We did.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool when that happens. And I think I had, I think I shot two turkeys with one shot that day.
You did, but the one wasn't completely dead.
No, we had to dispatch.
You had to that's just like
but he got out and he started running.
It happens.
That happens. Yeah,
it
happens,
Gene. No, yeah.
I know.
That was awesome. And then we had a picture with three turkeys. That's right. That was awesome.
That's a good morning.
that's the greatest. The most I've ever gotten was three. In one day.
Really?
And I'm going to tell you, I had three tags left. Two falls ago, I had three tags left. And I was out there with my Henry lever action 410. And I put the decoys out. And I run a Jake in the fall.
Okay.
I do. I run a Jake and I run an upright hen because you can harvest hens in the fall. And I'm sitting there and these three toms come up and they're fighting the Jake. In the fall. Happens all the time.
Right.
They can't resist. It takes them. The biggest thing that kills turkeys in the fall is patience.
Right.
Because I always say they're like dudes at a bar. It's like they get there and then all of a sudden they see some guy talking to a woman across the bar. That's the Jake talking to the hen. And they're like, bro, what's up with that dude, bro? And then his buddies are like, dude, don't worry about it. Just have a beer, man. Don't worry about it. And then like a half hour later, they're like, dude, it's a guy talking to that woman over there. Like, don't we know her? What's up with that?
Let's move in.
And then one of his buddies is just like, yeah, what's up, man? That's not cool. And then the reasonable buddy is like, guys, just have a beer and chill. Who cares? Don't worry about it. And then a half hour later, all three of them are like, dude, I'm going over. I'm going over. Man, I'm going over. So then they all like puff out their chest. They come over there, yeah. And then it's a fight.
I mean, springtime, that's what they do in the spring. But
that's what they do.
It happens in the fall,
and they
for
can't
sure.
resist their instincts in the
they
fall.
Won't let it go either. They'll leave, and you sit around and wait, and they come back.
Yeah, isn't it?
They can't let it go.
They cannot let it go. Hey, Gene, are there any comparisons to, like, do you think to men
where this is
in
headed.
Real life, Gene, going on here?
Not at all.
She's afraid to say. But so these three came in and they're dancing with and I've got a 4x10 shell, which is about as big as my pinky,
yep.
Right? And not only is it about as big as my pinky, but it's also only like a 2¾-inch shell or 2½,
yeah,
I think it is.
2½ maybe for those.
And, you know, that's all the gun takes is 2½. And then because 3-inch is the biggest 410. So all I know is I had three tags. I lined up and I shot once and killed all three times.
With a 410.
With one shot with a 410.
That's pretty
with
remarkable.
With a lever action 410.
That's pretty cool.
That was... It was one of my greatest, and I was all by myself. So I'm jumping up and down, and there's nobody to
you're
share.
Like, yeah.
With me. Nobody. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the moral of, and we get away from the main point, the moral of the story is don't underestimate how driven kids can be to actually learn to hunt. Because now, once Lex, you know, she hunted hard and she hunted mm-hmm. in tough conditions, in cold conditions.
Yeah.
And once she finally got her bird, then it was just like, you know, girl on fire at
right.
that point.
When are we doing it? When are we going?
She's killed several turkeys since then with me, and she killed her first deer with me. Mm-hmm. And I think she actually learned a pretty tough lesson. We were out during the bow season.
Yeah.
Gene, what happened?
So we were waiting very patiently, and we were at the golden hour, and the clock was ticking, the sun was setting, and I thought Joel was kidding when he said it, but by the tone of his voice, I could tell he wasn't kidding. He said, "There's the biggest buck standing right over there," and I look up, and it was, and this thing was massive, and I think that I'm not sure what your lesson is. I'm guessing that it's always be prepared because we had forgotten to bring the shooting stick.
Yep.
Oops.
Well,
that happens.
By the lesson, so it was a 12-point buck way outside the ears, probably a 170, 180 class buck.
Just a giant.
10 yards in front of us.
Gigantic.
No.
So I braced the front of the crossbow mm-hmm. for her as like a tripod.
Yep.
And I think I underestimated how far it was away,
mm-hmm.
and she right over the back of it. And I could have broke down and cried. But the lesson is everybody misses.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. If I had a dime for every massive opportunity that I have completely blown in the outdoors.
You know how many turkeys get missed with inside 15, 20 yards?
Oh, my gosh. All the time. I told my daughter yesterday.
Too close.
She went scouting with me, and I mm-hmm. said, I brought her into this farm, and we were scouting. Like, I drove right into the cornfield in the minivan, which was awesome. And I get to this ridge, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. You see how steep this ridge is? I said, I was walking with my gun after a turkey hunt and had like 5 tags in the fall. I walked over the ridge of the hill, and there were 5 turkeys 10 feet in front of me, all toms. And I put the barrel down, took the safety off, and shot 3 times at them.
Yeah.
Missed them all 3 times right in front of me. I promise when we come back, I'm going to tell the story of how a white egret nearly took my head off. I'm glad to be sitting here today. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. Tune in, listen, give us your feedback, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas through the whole premiere. His biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All I gotta do is get the job done. When the sun comes up and the woods come alive, long beards are gonna die.
Come on! That blows my mind. I told Anastasia, I asked her, throw on a song about turkeys, and I thought she'd come up with some Thanksgiving song. She literally came up with a hunting song about
what? Which turkeys. One was that?
When the sun comes up and the beard's in the ground, yeah.
This is Long Beards by Walt Gabbard.
Nice. He's a country boy.
And the long beard's on the ground, and what's that sound? It's turkeys. Yeah, turkeys.
Don't quit your day job.
Thanks. I won't. I have a minor degree in music.
I know. You actually can sing pretty darn good.
Well, that maybe if I'm accompanied and auto-tuned.
Yeah, you don't want to hear me sing. A couple beers in me, I like to do it, but nobody else likes to listen.
Yeah, well, we should go do karaoke sometime.
No, karaoke. I'd get kicked out.
I do a mean, we heard him earlier, Coming to America. I do a mean Neil Diamond, Coming to America.
Real quick.
Got a dream to take him there. That's not bad, is it?
Couple things.
Gene, why are you laughing?
You're very entertaining.
He is entertaining.
Well, that is the point of the show, is it not?
What? I forgot to tell you. Guess what I got this year? After 11 years of waiting, I got my bear tag.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
So that's going to put a little damper in my wallet, but hey, it's worth every penny.
Let me tell you something. I've got it all set for you. If you need
I got a bear. Up by Hayward, Clam Lake, okay.
The whole deal. So okay. If you want to hunt, I'm going to help you do that. Right. And it's not going to, you just go and you treat the people well. You buy them dinners, you fill their gas tanks, you'll be fine. It's not going to cost you much.
Drop them off some ribeyes and stuff, you know?
Whatever, yes. Yes, indeed. We got welcome to Raised in Wisco. Welcome back to the last segment of Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Mike Kretschmer is filling in for Danielle Fairman tonight. She's just a bit under the weather. And Jean Reed has stopped by. Jean's daughter, Alexa, took her first time into the woods with me, hit it hard, and ended up like a seriously awesome young kid hunter. She's got turkeys under her belt now. She's got whitetail under her belt. We just left into the break with the fact that she missed that chance at that massive buck, but that just keeps you driving for more. I think when you actually miss something grand, it gives you the drive to keep going after it and know the possibilities then.
Hey, you know, sometimes that's the blessing in disguise, missing versus injuring an animal too, right?
I mean, that's a fact. That is a fact.
You hit that no man's land or whatever, and then you think about that forever and can definitely discourage people. So sometimes missing is not the worst thing in the world.
No, I couldn't agree more. You know, earlier you talked about how that eagle swooped down and almost killed you on your boat. I have to tell you, I was hunting alligators. This is one of the greatest. If you don't know this, I mean, and a lot of people will say this, I have my fingers in about 16 different pots and I just try to stir them at all times. One of the things that I do, I have an outfitter in Florida called Triple J Outfitters. We hunt alligators and hogs. And I've hunted, I probably harvested 150 alligators or more, lots of hogs too. And I'm down there, and when I go down there with my buddies who have become kind of family of mine, I go down there, Shelby Ward, Jensen McCord. I mean, first of all, it blows my mind because all these Florida rednecks have names like country music singers. Jensen McCord, Dalton Durrell,
yep.
Shelby, Hunter Riggins. I'm not making these up. Jeff Ward, Johnny Thornton. So I'm out with Johnny Thornton. And Johnny Thornton is the first guy who ever took me hog hunting, ever took me gator hunting. And it's Shelby Ward's uncle. So we're out in airboats hunting with Johnny Thornton and Papa John, who's the grandpa, who's like 80 years old. And I'm on an airboat with him. And we're whizzing through the Everglades, right? 40 miles an hour on these airboats. And I'm on the top seat. He's in the front. I'm on the top back seat. The seats are graduated. They go up. And we're coming in. We're going through the stick marsh. Now, you can't see 10 feet in front of you, but this guy has literally been going in the stick marsh his entire life. So he knows it like the back of his hand.
Correct.
It's wah! And he's turning. And you just kind of have to have faith.
And hang on.
And hang on.
Yeah.
If an airboat's coming the other direction down whatever slough you're on, you're I mean, but they know the marsh, they know everything. So we're flying along, and all of a sudden, in front of Papa Ward, these white egrets are dropping out of the trees.
Because they hear you coming.
Because they hear you coming. Well, when you're first in the boat, by the time they drop out low enough, you're past them. So Papa Ward flying straight, 40 miles an hour, this egret drops out of the tree, and it's coming right for my head.
They're not little.
They are not. They are bowling balls right for my head. And it's too close, too fast for me to do anything but watch this mass of white take over my vision shield and whoop! It hits me in the head. My sunglasses, my hat go flying, and the bird goes flying into the fan.
Are you serious? You hit it?
It hit me in the head. It hit me.
I've never heard this.
Didn't that happen to Fabio on a roller coaster?
Yes. Very similar. Yes. Anastasia's saying, yes, it did. It did happen to Fabio on a roller coaster.
Wow.
So, wham, this thing hits me.
It's not butter.
My head, and there's blood everywhere. The bird went into the fan of the airboat. My headlamp is crushed into a million pieces of my hat. And I'm like dazed. It hit me so hard in the head.
Yeah.
I got like knocked out for a half a second. And if it would have been, it hit me right on the top of the forehead. If it would have hit me,
if it had been
a foot lower, it would have taken my head off.
Jeez.
Literally. So we get back and everybody's like, what's wrong with you, Joel? I'm like, and they're like, where's your hat? Where's your headlamp? What's this blood doing all over the place? I almost lost my life on an airboat by an egret that dropped out of the tree. That is not cool.
That's a cool story. I mean,
it's
not wrong.
I'm an adventure person, but I'm not a risk taker.
I mean, that's better than like falling in, you know, getting bit by an alligator.
Oh, that almost happened to him too.
Yeah, that did. I fell off a boat onto the back of an alligator, and my redneck buddies, the camera's going up and down because they're laughing so hard instead of helping me back in the boat.
That would be me.
My fat rear end try to struggle up the transom of the boat and get back in. Oh, man. Hunting season's actually upon us. I mean, we only got 3 more shows. I'm going to be gone for one of them because Danielle's going to be back in the seat while I go to Portugal hunting Barbary sheep. Excited about that. You've been listening to Raised in Wisco on your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Sitting alongside me, Mike Kretschmer and Gene Reed, who made an appearance. We'll see you next week.
At the decoy about to take his last breath, I got my bead on his outstretched neck. The last thing you'll feel is a face full of fives. Long beards are gonna die. Your long beards are gonna die.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tune in Monday for the Devil's Advocate. Dom's going to tell you Joe Biden's old. I'm going to tell you no, he's not. He's just right. Monday, 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Network.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better.
Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Powerful storms overnight on the Gulf Coast a day after deadly tornadoes from Texas to Indiana, killing at least three people, destroying entire neighborhoods. Ohio, the hardest hit, including a twister touching down in Crawford County. This local.
It was just really, really loud. I mean, you hear people say you hear a train or loud. Believe me, it was just you couldn't hear hardly yourself talk.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu approving plans to invade the city of Rafah amid crucial ceasefire talks. President Biden calling the offensive a possible red line if Israel doesn't protect the Palestinians that are sheltering there. Former Vice President Mike Pence announcing he will not endorse Donald Trump for president. Pence saying he cannot in good conscience endorse the president he once served, slamming him for pursuing an agenda that is, quote, at odds with the conservative agenda. Pence adding that he would never vote for Joe.